Thanks.
For recording and.
Councilman.
Good, how are you?
Slide minutes.
It's like every single time. You should get concerned if I don't.
All right, we're recording, so.
It's part of me and Jim as well. 5:30, nice to see everybody. So you call it to order and start out with introductions. I'm John Lindman, I'm the co-chairs.
Todd Olson, I'm the board member representing Grafton Heights.
I'm Karen Nog and I'm from Covenant.
I'm Iron, I'm from the Park of Crest Neighborhood Association. It's fallen for the moment, but soon to be resurrected with the meeting at 7:00 today. So I'm leaving early.
Job.
I'm Dave Humphrey, I'm a resident here at Westland.
I'm Tara Wigan, staff.
Chris Myers, city staff.
Megan Bigjohn, staff.
Stacy Epstein.
Kevin Bonington, Westland City Council.
Okay, so we have a copy of today's agenda. Board members, are we okay with it?
Get a motion to approve.
Okay, all those in favor? Assembly notes? Do we have any of those?
They were sent out.
I went longer than a week.
Very sweet spot.
Bye, I'm happy if I can know what happens.
We noticed that.
Jeff for the summer notes.
We'll second that.
No, there was a shot.
Aye.
All right. Community comments.
Do we have this recently?
Yes.
David.
I have a question before I start. I'm turning my 3 minutes on right now. Is it proper to cede portion of my time to David? Because he's really got the message that you want to hear. I sent all of you, I believe.
We've got stuff, no, you each get 3 minutes.
Can't cede a part of mine?
No. Just do 3 minutes.
And I received David's letter as well, so that everybody received it as well, yeah.
Yeah, we got that information.
All right, so, well, you've heard my message probably more than once and more than you want to hear. But my message has always been being volunteer, contracted cancer. And that has not been any means change to policy, which is terribly wrong. That is the city of Westland spraying all of its parks, glyphosate, and other Pro, Roundup, Aqua Pro, you name it. Glyphosates are poisonous, they've been proven to be poisonous. And in evidence, they're poisonous. I want to tell you a few stories because you've heard my message anyway. There's a individual I met, she was a governess. She was walking with a two-year-old child in Westland. And I always caution these people, I said, be very careful because this area has been sprayed completely with glyphosate for 20 years, 20-plus years. And it's a cumulative effect. So at the very least, wash the shoes of these kids when you get them up. This is really dangerous. And the other is an encounter I had with David. He was sitting in a park next to me at Tanner Brook Park, watching a pickleball game that I was playing. It was another court likewise playing. And after I finished, he was watching so intently, I said, would you like to learn the game? He said, I'd love to. So he was there with his family. And so I got grandpa, father, got the whole group back. And in the end, had a conversation with his son's wife. And she told me that David was the divinely appointed messenger that I had been looking for ages. He's a lawyer and he's also a chemist who engages in, you know, lawsuits. He's the expert witness. And specifically, glyphosate. So he's the one you want to hear. I'm just a messenger. I have so many unique encounters that could only be divine nature that bring me to this meeting today, that hopefully you listen and go along with Beyond Pesticides, which is a national group. I just talked with Rika. She may even be watching. I don't know. But is she watching?
She's in.
I'll let her in.
Okay. She.
Okay, 3 minutes is up.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I'm not here representing anybody but myself. I'm a resident by all of you from Westland. We love the Tanner Park, and it's a really cool thing. And I really admire it. It's a really well-run city, and we appreciate it. Even though I got my tree up a little late after the storm, I'm trying to be a good citizen here in Westland. So what I'm going to do is read this into the record. My point is try to be helpful. I'm hoping as you look back to this, you'll say that was a helpful comment and conversation. It may have given us a direction that we can avoid a future problem. As she mentioned, I'm an attorney, and I've been in lots and lots of litigation. And once people are in litigation, their life really changes very quickly. And the indemnity many times doesn't protect people that they thought were indemnified. And they get caught up, and they pay their own law fees, and they pay their own settlements. So let me just talk to you a little bit. I'll just read this for the record. So my career began with Ralph Nader as an environmental attorney. Today, I lead a nonprofit medical foundation working nationally with leading doctors and universities across the country on the connection between environmental exposure by pesticides and heavy metals and childhood health outcomes. I'm here because Tanner Park and Treasured Children's Park is still being treated with glyphosate, you know, toxic herbicide. There's already cases of some lupus and some leukemia among children and adults in this community. With causation is still under investigation. I mean, there's no direct causation. The signs are deeply concerning, and the evidence is growing. I mentioned my daughter. My daughter is chief fundraiser for St. Jude Hospital. She deals with leukemia patients. She won't bring herself or the children to this park anymore when she found out this glyphosate. That's how concerned St. Jude is about glyphosate. In the past month, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under Secretary Robert Kennedy issued a formal warning identifying glyphosate as a threat to children's health in the HHS document. In addition, the state of Massachusetts commissioned a report warning municipalities that continued use can lead to substantial lethal exposure. And I did enter that for the record in yours. So they paid about $1 million for this, by the way. Glyphosate study on an independent contractor. And it's mixed evidence, and there's concern there. Did not end placing both documents in public record. The city attorney, who you have here, the in-house attorney, I took a look at her background. She's got a really strong environmental law background, which is really, really helpful. Most attorneys don't know a lot about environmental law. Is well positioned to review all of these materials, including the new HSF material, and give you a written legal opinion. Each one of you here making decisions should have a legal opinion from her saying that it is her opinion that none of you have any risk of being sued and sued personally without indemnity. And you should all have that in play to be voting on these issues. So what the issue she should consider is a liability to the city of glyphosate use continues, possibly the city council members themselves to be held personally liable, even with indemnification, if they knowingly fail that. And the cost of safer alternatives. I'm not trying to be alarmist. I always try to tell clients to be preventative. They normally come to attorneys after they're sued. And it could have been prevented many times by what they do. I'm available to speak with the city attorney. I represent, again, a large medical foundation. We have the, for example, on my board is the president of the OBGYN Association. She'd be very happy to speak with you about OBGYN now taking a strong position on glyphosate. What's happening, you have 7 minutes left. What's happening is I know Robert Kennedy. He's come to our earlier conferences. He was the one that won the case against Monsanto for $10 billion on glyphosate. And he has actually made a decision to put hundreds of millions of dollars into university studies. Glyphosate is his chief target. So by the time these cases get to court, there'll be a lot more evidence in one direction. People wonder, why did the EPA decide to rule the way they did? Well, the reason it got to the jury is Kennedy showed information where the EPA was having a lot of sage gopher by Monsanto. So the judge threw that out. It did not allow the EPA to protect the people, and the jury awarded billions of dollars.
Okay, thank you, man.
I'm done.
Appreciate it. Okay. Is somebody that wants to talk to me?
Maybe some of us want to say.
Yes, did you want to make a community comment?
I sure did, and I'm so sorry. Thank you very much for my comments brief. I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Rika Gopinath, and looks like my battery is dying here. I am from Beyond Pesticides, and I manage our Free to Cities program called Parks for a Sustainable Future. And we're actually working with Springfield, Oregon, on a 2-year pilot project where we identify with cities parks to transition to organic land management, and have basically underwriting for free consultation with a technical expert and a structured 2-year program where we can provide technical training, all done remotely, and a very detailed technical plan for 2 to 3 sites for a city to do things you're probably already doing with mechanical and cultural practices. But we add in the element of soil biology, and the only direct cost to the city would be to pay for soil testing, including soil food web testing. And then in a 2-year structured program, we can work with cities. So I was just calling in to introduce myself. I know that there's a lot of public comment and that your community has been talking about synthetic pesticide use in your parks. And just wanted to let you know that Beyond Pesticides and myself are here to support the Parks Advisory Board, as well as Commission, in exploring free alternative resources. And I will leave it there because it's not on the agenda and it's a public comment. But I live here in Northern California and also serve in my own community on our Integrated Pest Management Commission, overseeing Marin County Parks System. So very familiar with the work you do, and I thank all of you for being here this evening and for your service, as well as to staff. And I'll directly reach out to Ms. I think it's Big John, who is your park staff liaison. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Yes, I think that's community comments. So from Division 43.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for giving me some time this evening. My name is Chris Myers. I'm one of the city planners here at West Lynn. And Terry's pulling up my PowerPoint here in a moment. So no, that's okay. I totally lost track of what thing is screen. Holy cow, how many times have I done this now? So I'm going to start by, let's see, I'll
do it quicker.
Yeah, I'll click away.
It's like a comfort thing to have, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, instead of saying YouTube.
You're getting.
So I wonder if it will let me. Yep, it will. Good. Okay, we'll back up. All right, there we go. All right, so yeah, so Vision 43 is a project that we embarked on with council's approval and funding in October of 2023. So we're about 18 months into the project. The general, whoops, I actually got ahead of myself. I am going to recap what the project is, which I already started. And then we're just gonna look at the recently council approved focus areas that we have for the project. We'll talk a little bit about that. And I can certainly come back because there's a lot more. Before I get into this, I forgot to give you a geographic concept of what we're talking about. So this is our Highway 43 corridor from the border of Lake Oswego on your left side to the I-205 overpass on the right side. It's about 3.3 miles in length. And what we are doing is, I'll be clear, we are not talking about the infrastructure of the highway itself. Pavement, potholes, striping,
That is not what we're doing. We're looking at the land uses adjacent to the highway itself. What types of businesses and residences do we allow? What do we allow now? And what do we want to allow going forward in the future? And that's really what we're getting at is we have a lot of single-story strip mall type development along the corridor. And that really doesn't work for Westland on a lot of different levels. Not very good at community building, not very good as a tax base. So we're trying to upgrade our vision of the corridor. And I'll get a little deeper into that. Generally speaking, what we're doing is creating a new community good. We've been out for about 18 months. I think I'm a little over 50 different events that I've been to, gathering feedback from our community about what we want to see in the corridor in the future, right? As I said, engaging community members, and we want to improve opportunities for walking and cycling along the corridor. That doesn't mean on the highway itself. We're looking at trying to formalize pathways and trails and sidewalks that are off highway, so people can walk the length of the corridor without having to actually go up and walk on the highway. It's a very uncomfortable experience. We can't really change much of that, but we can figure out and formalize some of our off-highway pathways to make life easier moving along the corridor for bikes and beds. We do want to create more opportunities for businesses, opportunities for housing, places for us to gather as a community. Not many of us go down, head down to Highway 43 to hang out. Not a lot of places to do that. So those are some of our general overviews. As I said, we started in October of 23. We are looking to wrap up sometime at the end of this calendar year, or maybe it might go into spring. The reason I say that, actually, that may be news to Councilor Bonington, but the reason we're kind of taking the time went back a little bit is it's taking a lot longer to get the new code written. So we take all the data that we've received from the community, all the feedback, and then it gets, MIG is our planning consultant, and they're writing a new mixed-use zoning code for us. We have a lot of policy questions that we need answers from our working group, planning commission, and from council, and it's just taking a long time. But the mantra we use is that it's better to do it right than to do it fast. As an example, we all know the Weiser blocks in Lake Oswego. The visioning process for that project started in 1986. They wrapped up construction about 6 years ago. So figure 35 years out is kind of where we're geared for. So an extra couple months on the front end here probably is not going to be a big deal if we get it right, you know. So again, here is the corridor. Sorry, so blurry, it didn't scale properly. So what we've done is we're going to talk about these. This is my briefing. We have focus areas. Our consultant has done a lot of corridor projects. And the concern is if you rezone the entire corridor, you sort of dilute the product you're trying to get. Focused, mixed use areas, right? So we started initially with four focus areas. And this one in the square, focus area 2, has now been removed from the project. So that was the Lutheran Church just to the south of Mary S. Young Park on the highway. The reason that was originally put in is there's a movement across the country for large church properties to start building their own low-income housing, not necessarily for their congregation, but just as a community project or believing in their mission, or as the part of their mission. Since we started the project till now, there's been some new codes implemented statewide that really they can get to that if they want to without our interference. We don't need to change their zone. So our recommendation to council is to simplify our project and not overcomplicate it. We should remove focus area 2. So we have, and they can get down that road if they want to. So we're gonna leave that one alone. So this is focus area 1. I'll give you some quick context. It doesn't scale very well on the screen, but this is Walmart right here. All right, so then, you know, you've got the old car, the car wash site, the UPS, dental office, all that good stuff. Here we've got 7-Eleven across the street.
Where's the new car?
I do not have an application for any car wash. Thank you. I do not have an application for that yet. So the blue boundary was the initial focus area that we took to the working group. The working group added these green slashed areas. This is Robinwood Station. Planning Commission agreed with those additions and with the boundary. So what you see here inside the blue dash boundary, all of those properties would be have their zone changed to mixed use. So let me throw out a caveat. Just because your zone changes doesn't mean anything else has to change. You could live in your house for the next 400 years and it wouldn't matter. so it can continue to be exactly what it is. What it does do is open up opportunity for you in the future. If you wanted to do something different properly, you could, based on whatever everyone says we want. So primarily what you'll see are these larger commercial properties that right now have some limitations that have kept them at single story kind of strip mall style. And we're going to remove those based on the community's feedback, and the mixed use codes will have slightly higher height limits up to 55 feet and allow more of the structure on the property, what we call bulk. So right now you can only cover 50% of a commercial property, and in the future we're looking at somewhere between 80% and 90%. It's really maximizing the use of the space, right? So this is focus area one. And yes.
So the blue lines, all the properties that are low density and medium density homes, all adjacent to that blue line?
Everything within this blue line.
Right, but the ones that are outside and adjacent to it.
Correct.
What is the meaning? What's the implication for them?
Their neighbors may have a different use in the future.
Their neighbors within the blue line.
Within the blue line. But keep in mind, like these properties right here, this is already a law office.
Right. So for example, that's the back of Walmart, right?
This is the back of Walmart.
Right here.
In those areas, right?
Right back here.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the back of Walmart. This is that alleyway behind Walmart. Right. These are the neighbors. So what would be really all that much different for them? Not a lot. This could go a little bit bigger. This can go a little bit taller. Mm-hmm. Sure.
And those Old River Road neighbors.
Mm-hmm. These here.
Both sides of the blue line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those could all be.
Yeah, because they're not pink, but they would have.
Yeah, currently they're not general commercial, which is this pink color here. These are residential properties. And so somewhere between R, well, you can see R2.1, this is an apartment complex. And R10 or R7 right in here. So yeah, these could all at some point in time change.
Turn pink.
What we, it'll be a different color, but yes. What we figure is that someone will actually need to buy multiple properties to do anything really productive in a mixed use environment back on some of these properties or some of these, you know, sort of smaller. You'll see it in another one, in another focus area. But yeah, that's, but again, we're thinking 30, 40, 50 years down the line, right? So I'm gonna jump ahead. I don't wanna take too much time. We're gonna do, we have two more of these. So here is, it's gonna change, but it's right now focus area three, because as you remember, we removed focus area two. The hard part is we have 18 months of focus area three things labeled. So we might just leave it at focus area three and get confused.
That might be
just yeah. So this, for context, this is the Bolton Firehouse right here in this triangle. And this is the new firehouse that we have. Russell Williams State Farm right here. He's on the EDC with me. So the red dashed lines are the original, and the green slashes were added by the working group. And then Planning Commission added this little grouping right down here in blue. Again, some residential, some commercial. The exciting part about this one is that this is a city-owned property, and really the only property that we can have an actual say in the impact on what we may want there, right? The rest are privately owned. We can't tell them what to go do. We can only give them parameters to work within. So we're hoping in the future, I know Councilor Bonington, Mayor Bielostowski, Councilor Bright, we've all had conversations about the potential in the future of some sort of public-private partnership, whether it's to create some sort of commercial retail with housing or whatever. That would be a place where we could actually partner with a private firm or two and actually get something built to show what we're talking about, what might be done in, on some of our commercial spaces. Yeah, so that's focus area three.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to.
You don't need sorry.
I'm really not.
You're just being polite.
So, correct me. Well, you will correct me. I'm wrong. But that triangle pink you said is Bolton.
Yep.
The old firehouse.
Yep.
But I thought the new firehouse was a kitty corner and across the street.
It is right here.
Isn't that the opposite side of Pauling?
It's on Elliott. So here's the next project is on Elliott, whereas the Bolton is on Failing.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks.
Oh, the school itself?
No.
Oh, the Bolton Firehouse.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Kevin knows this.
As part of this, there is a discussion to possibly close this section.
Yeah.
Off. It's simply a write-in. You can't come out, you can't come in from if you're traveling south. So that way we would actually be able to expand this property and their property. Half of it would go to these guys, half would go to us. And it might make for a better fit. That's just discussions being had, not anything rigid. But the focus area boundary has now been set by council's thumbs up approval in a meeting we had about 3 weeks ago or so. Now this is focus area 4. So this is market of choice. Here's our library in our office business center zone. And in this one, there's quite a few more residential properties. And the working group felt pretty strongly that up here on the hill, and actually the high school's right about here. I mean, it's within what, 2.5 blocks, I think. Felt pretty strongly that this section, especially this upper section, at some point in time could be something interesting, school being so close. I don't know if you've ever been down near Market of Choice or Crumble Cookie around lunchtime at the high school, but it is, we should just put in a tram or a zip line or something. It'll wear out those crosswalks. So this is our third focus area. Again, properties here, these sort of overlook that gas station. So these are up on about 20 feet on the hill.
Yeah.
So all of these are actually kind of up on off the highway. And the working group felt like they would be a good addition. Again, nothing has to change. It simply opens up options for you in the future. What we're really looking at is wanting some of these properties to turn over and not be single story strip malls. This section right here, many of these are already in commercial use. We're sort of cleaning up some past oversights, I would say. You know, there's like an acupuncturist, maybe a law office. Those are all in a residential zone and shouldn't be there. So they're functioning really nicely as commercial properties. We're going to make that change, make it fit right. Yeah, and then let's see, last little bit I have is, oh, these properties here are access from internally of the district. Anything outside is not going to change. But these have the possibility of changing over because you would access them from Garden Street. So again, what we're trying to do is create 3 future districts of housing, commercial, office, whatever. The height limits will, right now, it looks like they'll go to 55 feet, which is 4 stories. Right now it's 35 feet, which is 3 stories. In certain instances, you can get 45 feet depending on the slope. So a little increase. And then we're working with the council right now, taking them policy questions that they're answering, giving us direction so that the new draft code can be written according to the community's desires. And then some policy things that council actually needs to guide us on. So we hope to have some draft of that here this summer. And then we'll do some open houses and let people come out and take a look and tell us how amazing it is or how horrible it is or how we got something right and something wrong. And that's fine too. So yeah, we'd hope to have something tangible for people to look at code wise, and that'll help us give you a little bit more visual of what that might look like. So, yeah. Slow baby steps, you know, or slow, maybe slow progress, whatever.
Great. What did the taxpayers pay for this report?
I'm sorry?
What did the taxpayers pay for this report?
This is not a report, it's a vision plan, just to be, if you want to be accurate, Tom.
Sure.
And the total budget for our project is $200,000.
That included the toilet and everything?
It includes everything. The new code, there's a transportation analysis that we just met with the consultant a couple days ago. That will start the transportation analysis of if these things come to fruition, this is what traffic will look like. That's about $50,000 of the $200,000. So it includes everything, the whole kit and caboodle. It doesn't include Sapphire. That's our own, you know, to do to manage.
Okay. Spread about turning board in Westland deficit that would impact this vision.
Yeah, it's the $200,000 has already been set aside. That money is approved and geared for this project. So beyond that, I'm a planner, budget questions. I don't even get the right to budget. So.
Thanks very much.
You are welcome. Thank you guys. Happy to come back as we kind of stumble through this and.
Lake Oswego, because they're always there. Lake Oswego, Lake Oswego, there was a leading example. And I even lived there then when it was Weiser's. What else was there before all the beautiful stuff? Was it all businesses, do we know?
I was there at that time. It was all businesses. It was Weiser's plus other.
El Ranchito.
Yeah.
It's all good. So it was no housing that was.
Correct.
Inhabited.
Correct. And you know what's fun to do is go on Google Maps to Street View and see other dates.
Yeah.
And you can go back in time and see what it used to look like. It is, they start to change difference. It's quite.
It's really beautiful.
Change a lot.
All right.
Thank you guys. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
City Council. How's it going?
I bumped you up to the top initially, like when I was even thinking, because originally you were switching to two meetings, so I didn't mean to be. I know.
We're all.
I know, so just sorry that.
You're the one to blame.
I mentioned that he switched going to that, so sorry, that's sorry. Well, I just talked, I was like, well, I'm like, Kevin, have to be juggling.
No.
Yeah, it's all down.
Yeah. I would say the most important thing, and really the only thing of note, is the fact that the budget committee meetings happened, more than 2 weeks ago now. And there wasn't a lot of fanfare, wasn't a lot of drama involved. But going through it, it was really, really illustrative of exactly how challenging the situation will get the next 4 years or so. That's when we could see as much as a $9 million deficit over the biennium. That's a very worst case scenario. A lot of things would have to go wrong in succession in order for that to happen. It's pretty unlikely, but it is a possible scenario. One would be aware of those. But this time around, just to illustrate the points, I spent 3 days trying to figure out where I could borrow $30,000 from one part of the budget to put into something else. I found like nothing. There was absolutely nothing that was fat to trim. And it was kind of scary because when we get to that situation in a couple of years, it's going to be bad.
It's hard to say.
It's not going to be like we have rare butterfly incubator projects around town that we can cut. You know, it's going to be like, well, we have two cops on duty. Now we'll have one. So, yeah, going to be working on solutions for that. And that is part of what my community enhancement thing is about, that some of you heard about. And the idea will be to bring that to every advisory group while we work on that. So, stay tuned.
Okay. Thanks.
Council.
Okay.
Looks like for the next floor.
I know. Well, you know me.
Put them together however you want.
I want to deeply apologize that I got this document to you guys so late. I did bring some copies of any, and it's micro. I have my glasses for a reason, because I realized at the budget committee meeting that I couldn't see the budget document as I got there. I had my to look at, not that you probably need it, but it's here. I really appreciate all the feedback, and it's been interesting even over the last week or so. And then obviously I'm talking with Tara, my head was still spinning on ideas and options. And knowing that we're going to get it as right as we can. I also realize the pressure to try to get it done today is not really there. We've got down to earth moving forward with what they're doing. The questions that were raised, I really appreciated. And so I wanted you guys to have a chance to look at it past today, because I know we didn't get to fully have a review of what Todd and Chris and Vicky had sent in. But there was three things that Vicky had raised a point to that I thought were quite interesting. And it's really nice to have that outside look to see what you might be missing. And so she had brought the question, and I was a little bit confused after our last meeting of talking about a tiered approach with our with this policy. And the more I was like, I started to type that and I got confused. And then I started to hear it and I realized, wouldn't this be great if it was our overall parks and facility, whether it's rental or use policy, because we have, essentially, it would make it more clear. We have our baseline shelter reservation. Mm-hmm. We have our baseline facility reservation. We have our extended, what do they have down there? We have three things. Why am I going blank? We have our business use in general. And then we have our special event permit. And what I realized that this could be still with our overriding purpose of what we do for parks, for parks and facilities, I'm talking parks facilities, not like City Hall, right? We have how we manage those, but to be able to dovetail all of this in one document where it does connect much easier in one space, because that's when I started realizing why we were duplicating information. It wasn't connecting. And so that was what I was kind of wanting to propose to you to bring back before the next meeting. It won't take that long for us to dovetail it in, but it'd be very clear. And it starts with our main purpose of what our parks are for, mm-hmm. right? And make it clear in one document so that when somebody reaches out and they're trying to figure out, am I a business use? For example, we have somebody who is running a private business, wanting to run camps at our park. We're having to explain, if you're going to be in the park running a business, you have to, just even currently, you have to have a business license, you have to have insurance, you have to have a shelter reservation, because the park is already booked out. And so having that in one documentation would be really helpful and very transparent for the community who's wanting to use it. So that was what I was, it kind of like hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I got the tiered approach. It makes sense if that's what you all were thinking. But that's where it came to me, even if we need to do more than that. Then I was realizing that we could even build a matrix where it has, you know, this is the long document. You can have a snapshot. You know, it won't have all of the fine detail in it, but you can have it down so you can see kind of where you trigger into the next area. So that was kind of where I was now. It was kind of my mind was heading towards this, where it really improves so many features for all of us for what we do, yes, as far as the rentals. So that was one point that was brought up. The other point that was brought up was asking if business license, when we say a business license, Vicki had asked if the state business license, and it's no. We actually have in our city code that any business operates within the city has to have a city of Weston business license. They're really inexpensive to get. Yes, of course, if you're running a small business, any cost is a cost, but they're not that much. And so any of our instructors have to go through that, and that's just what we have to do in the city. So, but it's not an additional, like, you know, something bigger with the state or the or accountant. The other question that was brought up in this was, and this was a clarifying thing for us. When we start talking about fees, I'm so sorry, I'm flipping through, not telling you the page or the bullet point. We're on number 4. When it talks about fees and costs, wanting to talk about if you do have a special event. So John is going to throw a festival down at, and it's not related to the city. It is going to be for, I don't know what it is, cross country runners of America down there. And it's like, you know, you're
going to,
yeah, no, and Mary's Jen, it's going to be there, right? And you're taking over the park and it's going to be a 3-day festival there and food vendors besides events going on. But when you think about that, that's not an event that the city's putting on. It's not an event that we're partnering with Old Town Willamette on. It's this private event essentially occurring that is still allowing the public to come, but you're taking over the park. There's some trying to figure out what is that fee schedule? What do you pay? Like, so how do you know what you pay? There is a calculation, but it's not quite clear in writing. So if you're going to take over the park, you have to rent pieces of the park that go along with it. You have to rent the shelter. You have to rent the field. Like, essentially, the field is out of commission of any rental space because you would rent that. Additionally, it's not in there yet, but, and we don't get a lot of these. They get us Lake Oswego. I had to do that over there. Oof. But what if you had PD had to increase, public works had to come and close off roads. I don't know what roads you close off. Say we had to close off roads. Say that Tualatin Valley had to do some, be there because there were so many people. Say it was a $5,000 people in that park, it wouldn't be permitted. But you know, there's all these other pieces within the city that actually tie in, and the city has never accounted for all of those resources that go into it. So currently, what's happening? This started a little bit last year, and we're formalizing it. Every special event permit, including like our old time fair, we're sitting down with all of those other departments to talk about the strategy of what need. They have to have sign off. So if somebody's going to do a run and close down 43, okay, that's we don't. Say it is Willamette. Tara and I we're approving the permit, but we don't manage the road. We don't manage, you know, a cul-de-sac wants to do a party. In the past, it was just the parks department signing off, and I'm like, whoa, no. Because if there's an emergency, we're liable. We need to have the right.
So what do you do? What do you do now for, like, you know, Thanksgiving runs?
Yeah.
All of runs like that. That pretty much closes the park. I mean, the entire park run it.
Yeah.
And they have lots of volunteers to run.
But so that's like grandfathered one in.
Yeah. So they filed a special permit. They have the insurance, the business license. They pay for the rental. They have to pay all those fees. plus the group size, plus, you know, that could be different fee structures.
So that already exists.
Yeah, they have to bring in extra porta potties because our bathrooms cannot.
Right.
And our other ones are closed for that, for November, so they, so there are, there's like conditions of approval that go with that, there's additional.
So the thought was with this is that we get at least those basic details, because in the policy, you don't want to put the exact fees in there, you want to refer to a master fee schedule, you know, you get those basic documents, so you can, so when somebody calls, we can say, yes, we can do it for this permit, or no, it's not allowed. If somebody wants to do helicopter rides out of Marius John, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's things, I mean, that's extreme.
Fun ideas.
I mean, it looks like we don't get a lot of this, right? We're thinking of.
Soccer game, I can't win there.
I know, thank you. We're thinking of what really is coming our way that's popping up is people wanting to do pop-up camps in the park, or wanting to set up a neighborhood event that's kind of ongoing in the shelter. And then there's this conflict that there's a rental occurring, and they don't know that there's a rental occurring, so how do we guide people to the steps to be able to secure a space? Or a food vendor wanting to pop up at a park, and there's food cart, you know, there's all these, what if somebody got sick there?
Yeah.
And they, people think it was the city that permitted it, we didn't. So it's, we're not going to be able to be the be-all of monitoring it all. We want to give people an avenue to do it right for those who are doing it right. And so it seemed like dovetailing all of this in together would be really helpful. What was the other one that was up here? Oh, the one that I was struggling with, I just told you all I would look at, is length of time for events, rental, or.
What page are you on?
Oh, goodness.
What number?
Hold on, it was in my brain. Maybe she said it.
It's a comment.
Yeah, I thought it was my comment too. Oh, it's the very first comment. She just had a general comment. So do we need something in place for organizations that reserve shelter X every day that's blocking from use from others? Do we need to have a maximum period reservation? So I did it. That's when I've been struggling with a little bit, because trying to find something that's defined for a specific use. I did a quick search today. Of course, I know what happens in Elo, but Milwaukee has one where they actually just define what temporary event is, and theirs was tied to event permits. And it was that it's defined as generally no more than 12 hours in one day. It does not exceed 30 consecutive days and not reoccurring on a regular scheduled basis within a year. And what the goal of that is that you don't take somebody like down to earth. I think that's totally separate, but think of, I think I mentioned this before during COVID, which was a very different time, right? We opened our parks up, let people operate and have community as far as workouts and things. But you don't want somebody to come and make their brick and mortar the park when it's supposed to be primarily intended. So if somebody was coming every Tuesday morning to operate a yoga venue out of Marius Young Park, and they're paying just a shelter fee, that's a pretty cheap rate, and they don't have any fee coming back to the park. Like our current contractors, they give us what percentage of their fee? 30% of their fee comes back, so that handles our reservations, goes back into our process. So it's trying to, again, so the first thing we do if we have a class like that, we reach out to them and say, hey, would you possibly want to be one of our instructors and hold your class through us as our program? And that's a way to kind of give them an option, especially if we see it as a need, as an opportunity that we're not able to offer the community already. And then if that doesn't go there, then like, then we start going down, well, now there's this reservation process. And then we have, then you pay for, you have your insurance, you're operating your business there. You've got the business license with the city, and you've reserved the area so that we know where you're going to be, not just show up and marry us from and be wherever you want to be. So that time frame and that duration, Elo has it that they just have no repeat reservations unless the director approves. Like, for example, we do have a church that does come to the Adult Community Center that's been working beautifully in the hours, but we don't have people reserving it. That's, you know, so you want to make sure that it's not so ironclad that we can't do the things that we need to do. It would allow the community to have some flexibility, right? But I also don't want everything to go back to the directors that would make that decision, because we want to have some baseline here so there's a consistency. But there does need to be those exceptions where it makes sense. We can still justify it within the policy that is still for the betterment of the community or an offering for a group of people that need it. So
the length of time, I think that's an important one.
It is.
Yes, it says 12 hours. I I don't know, do you want that between sun up and sun down? So no, I mean, per policy already is.
Right.
Yeah. That 12 hours has to be within the park's hours.
Right.
Should be specified too.
Right. Well, and that's where like the repeat, the ongoing repeat, you know, you can get super, you know, we could find somebody who's like saying, hey, I would like to have, you know, could I rent the shelter for 4 weekends in a row? And to know, but for a one block, and that's where it's like, okay, well, that's not ongoing every day, every, you know, every year. Is that getting too far? That's that kind of thing that you don't want to get so locked in, but it's like you want to avoid that reoccurring. And again, it's really for that person that's making it their business location. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
What it takes away, that I think that what we're trying to mesh is when there's opportunity to not have conflict.
Yes.
We want to take advantage of that opportunity, but where there could be all conflict, we have to be on the side of the recreation user, because that was the primary purpose of the park.
Exactly.
Right? And so, yeah.
That's what the taxpayers pay for.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think you're right. Short term, temporary, you don't want to get things too set up. But wacky thing, I have to think about.
Well, I feel like that was a little too, I couldn't, every other one, jurisdiction I looked at, every other parks and recreation agency, it was definitely left more loose, because I was interested, and that was actually in there. I was surprised it was in code. It was like, oh, that's in your code. So, yeah. So I think, I mean, you want to have it so that you're not stumbling over it all the time.
Yeah.
But you do want to have the intent is for public use. That's where our purpose is really clear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and to help the director, whether that's you or a future director, to know what is the intent here so that they aren't just doing what they're thinking is best.
No, 100%.
And then if someone's like, wait a minute, they can go, no, it's really, here's why I did this, right?
Yep.
So that's quite enough guidance, but allow the decision.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Foundation for you to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Yeah, certainly a lot cheaper for a business to operate in the park, and you have this license than a brick and mortar.
It is.
So, so making sure you can.
Yeah, and that's been the tricky part, right? The enforcement. But what we have done so far, and I think, I mean, we've only had a couple that have been really kind of pushed back because they're trying to find a way to make their business work, right? But most people have either, they've moved on, just said, hey, this is how it is for all of Lynn's Heart. We can't get this catered to you. I see posts on Facebook or we see flyers in the shelter. And what really stunned us for my education, where it came to be from staff, was that they were having lots of conflict while we were holding a camp at Hammerlee, and somebody else was running their really cool summer tutoring camp there and doing parks and recreation activities as part of the camp, which again, that's really cool. I mean, we'd love to partner, whatever. But she wanted to just be there when we weren't there. And it's like, it's reserved the whole time. And so, and you're now, you know, I even had offered her to go into a corner of the park for 1 year. I'm sure we had her advertisement out. So I was like, you don't, we can figure this out, but down the road, we need you to follow our process. So then you have a dedicated space and your camper show up and the park isn't overused. That was kind of what was happening too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where, so we've had a few of those we've reached out to. We can't manage it all since we don't have a real, you know, full-time park ranger to be able to check in. But I will tell you, sorry, this is really side railing, but I think it's kind of neat. Staff has worked to be able to have a tighter connection from the recreation side to the park side. Tara is working with her staff to print off all of the schedules of where camps are, camps and our reservations are, so that our park staff knows that. I really had never been a connection before, so that the park staff know where they have to monitor and move their mowing or cleaning, but then also they can eventually push back and say, hey, I cannot get to the site at all. I need a morning where I can mow. I can't get there at all. But then they also have the cue to say, somebody else is doing something here.
Right.
They can approach and just say, hey, here's a card if you're not just.
Yeah.
So they know it doesn't have to be a you can't be here kind of a thing. But we started the conversation and we would actually find some really good instructors through this process too. So that's kind of where it's at. To just have some bones so that we're not finding when I got here, I think you guys have heard this from me. There's so much that hasn't been really organized and written down policy and doesn't or best practice or SOP. So that they're always like, oh, what should we do? What should we do? I'd like to reduce that so it's primarily there. And then we have less of those what do we do kind of conversations.
Social.
Well, they built some amazing parks with it all, right? So now you let me work on the foundation and everything.
We're thinking to last year when down to earth situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of larger question of, well, what if a bunch of my friends and I got together every single week and had a
game?
He charged each other $50. I mean, that every day. Aren't we just using the park? The answer, of course, is no, that's not okay. But we have a way to point that.
Right, yeah.
There's nothing I could use in my arguments against that. That was written down, so.
Yeah, cheered. So cheered, so I'm gonna still look for a word on that because I want, that's why I wrote down parks. And then we thought, might as well throw our facilities in it too. That just would be another little chapter, a section of what that is like too, because we had somebody who did a rental at Sunset Fire Hall and we came to find out that they were doing it in market.
Oh.
So the capacity of people are very different from a rental. They were charging the fee, they were selling products and it was like, oh. You know, so we needed to be able to have some of that information in there. So, and then this all is going through our attorney as well as looking, we're reviewing our liability forms, our insurance, all that goes through our contracts. So it's been a really kind of a heavy lift, but such a heavy lift at the same time.
Good job.
We're getting there.
So maybe the ask is for us to review this.
Yes.
Then once we, at some point, you're gonna take this and fit it into the.
Yeah.
Everything.
That's what I'm hoping to do in the next couple of weeks to, at the most, to get this to you. My goal is to get this to you at least 2 weeks ahead of time. This last 2 weeks kind of really threw me, like I said, curveballs. But yeah, so that's what I would look at doing. And then we can review the whole thing together. And again, I have to try to keep in mind about not throwing so much detail that some of this has to be tied in. And the things that change on a regular basis are separate and this is our guiding post, right? So that's what I will look to do and it'll really help our staff.
Yeah, it's a bit broad.
Yeah.
But do you feel like you've got enough comments?
I think I do. We did a lot of work last week, last month. And I think this is, so again, I think if you hear or see of anything about length of time or language, that's what I was kind of trying to look at. Again, not locking us into a very specific. I'm going to do some more research. I have a meeting with Oregon Recreation Park staff or members here in the next couple of weeks. So I was going to reach out to them too and see. But when you look at policies, sometimes they're online, sometimes they're not. And so just was trying to, you know, put that out. So
excellent.
Well, it's been great. I was like, we gotta get this done. Like, no, we're gonna continue making this.
And how the parks director, they're gonna talk to each other. It's kind of a revolutionary.
Our department. No, it is so well, you know what I mean? It's like either agencies, we rely on each other so much. We all have limited resources to try to find out what each other is doing. So budget, that was my first presentation to the budget committee. I was really nervous. And then I got up there, I had all my stuff and I could see fine like normally. And then I was looking at everyone and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't see it. Kevin hopefully didn't know this. I know, I was trying to make it chatty. They really didn't care. I am handing this out just because it is a silly thing that I made to share with the budget committee. This is going to be a little bit different than what you see in the budget book, but these are fun facts about all the things that we do with our budget. I don't know, do you want fun facts? it's really impressive when you break it down. But with budget in general, they received all the things that, you know, our budget, like Kevin said, is it's pretty stable as far as not being able to have a lot of asks. The additional asks that I did ask for, though, were specifically for our professional services to be able to hire a consulting arborist to be able to help us. He's currently right now helping with our tree code, municipal code, technical revision, which is great, you know, who he is. And so that money's been added in. I'm also learning as I go through if there's any tree legal issues. That money right now has just been coming out of Parks and Recreation. So like we have somebody who illegally cut a tree, we have to hire an arborist, they have to go do the evaluation, have a presentation to the judge, and like even the second one coming in, I go to the judge, and so does this person, and I'm realizing those fees are not, they're just coming directly out of our budget. So part of this will help separate that what it does is that leaves that FTE for us to be able to use when the arborist position is not, we do about 300 permits a year, so you consider that's one a day. it's not that many. And so a lot of the tree, once we get the code, the technical, the first one, not changing the code, but the technical updates, the majority of the work ends up being a lot of admin. And so already we still have two people, Mike Perkins and myself, who are certified arborists. So having that, the consulting arborist will help us with the real difficult issues that we are not actually skilled at doing. If there's any land use revisions, we can do that, but that's a person's way more expertise in doing that as well and helping us with the tree code moving forward. So that is budget council or the council or budget committee was fine with that. And then when you start looking at it, it's still relatively small, the numbers that we showed you. A big thing that you'll see in our numbers where it looks like you have millions and millions of dollars is that we have $7 million over the next 2 years that we are having that we kick in for the new operations building, which is where our park staff will be. So that is not a bond that goes out to the community, that's self-bonded by the city. And so when you look at it, it makes you feel like you're really rich, but when you take that out, and we still are, I mean, we could be like smaller cities, but we have a very thin, we're really trying to optimize, like right now, we're literally prepping parks and we're barking, and we're working through getting areas to be able to reduce our weight pressure, you know, hold our moisture content, really working on our cultural practices. Even splash pads over this last week, 5 splash pads every 2 hours.
And so how many months is that?
It starts from Memorial Day to Labor Day, 7 days a week.
Yes.
And so when you think about it, we were getting some complaints that we were closing them at 6 o'clock because somebody has to, if we stayed at 8, which we're normally do, somebody has to be here until 6 o'clock. We didn't have all of our seasonal staff lifted, and so we kind of pushed it back until school started, as school got out. But next year we're going to make sure we're staffed up. We realized with the heat coming up at the same time, and already every splash pad has had multiple problems, multiple issues. Most cities of our 88 size don't have this many, and a lot of them have canopy covers. So like Lamet goes, they have to clean the filter out 3 times a day.
Jeez.
3 times a day, and not from like a sock or something. Like it's from pine needles, dirt, wood chips. They're not set in the most successful place. We'll be looking at, we did add money to have remote controllers so we can see what's going on, but it doesn't mean you still have to go to those locations. Not every 2 hours, we're hoping over time that will reduce it, but you can at least see what's going on where you have to go to an emergency. I found out today that we actually on the weekends, we have 3 people assigned to just splash pads.
Wow. 3?
Yeah, they do restroom cleaning and, you know, trash, but that's like that. They are like literally like having to keep those rolling. So I am now looking at, for our deferred maintenance, looking at what kind of pumps do we need to switch, one more fresh water? Is there, you know, what are our avenues to be able to reduce our amount of maintenance on those features? And they are so loved. I mean, they are so, so
they're very busy.
Yes, they are. And you'll get to see that when we look at city data here in a little bit. So again, to me, that's why with our building, we're not building now a whole lot more. There's things that we're committed to do that we have to do. But we need to really dial in our maintenance all the way around and just be very much more sustainable. We built the palace. We didn't have the funding to maintain the palace.
Yeah.
So we're now just getting really smart with our rotations, our works, and our overall maintenance in general. So, I'm glad we have the palace. I just got to really maintain it. But this little snapshot for the budget committee was really fun to put together. And we're going to start doing this more that we'll come to report with you. Share with you the things that we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's some of this would be really interesting for the public, for the community to see.
Oh, they'll hear from me.
No, I want to make an infograph on it. I just ran out of time.
I mean, you know, because they complain this is not weeded or mowed. Yeah. You saw that. You're standing at 66 acres per FTE. It's like, there's so little understanding of the massive amount of work and the few resources you have. There's a disconnect there in the community. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
That
disconnect fairly stems from something I thought too walking in here. Doesn't this city have a ton of money? It's very similar to Lake Oswego.
Yeah.
Well, no.
It's not.
Because the tax amount is.
Because we don't have businesses, we don't have.
Yeah, there are some.
So factors. I just think that at some point, talking about how to close that gap
Does that disconnect yet?
Well, guess what? You're going to get an opportunity.
Okay.
Because July is Parks and Recreation Month.
Yes.
And we are July. We just took our first group photo with everybody. We're missing one person, but we'll get her photoshopped in.
Okay.
We normally just do a proclamation. And so yes. Since it started, Volterra's going to be city for a while, but we are even doing all of them, the proclamations. So we are going to have a little spelling of what we are and what we provide for the community. We'll be doing social media on that. And again, when you do get this, you can go, what we see, or you can go, wow.
Yes.
Look at what we do with the resources we have.
Yes.
This is quite fantastic, right? It really, truly is.
Yeah.
So that is going to be the message. And it's not just recreation. It's mental wellness. It's health. It's family. It's community, building it together. So that's what we started doing. And again, it's trying to tie between members from the fiscal year, the annual year. And so you guys just gave me what you know from this last year.
Yeah.
Because some numbers in the book were fiscal. So anyway, yeah. But I think painting, I always keep saying painting the picture of what we're doing and the value,
right.
Really will kind of hopefully shine itself. Now, one thing for the spring, we were down 2 FTE in the parks. 2. Oscar was gone and Seth was gone. And so that was what we started spring with. So with areas of getting mowed or whatnot, we're hanging in there. We're getting there.
Again, we have to find a way to make that communication better. So that the community understands more.
Yeah,
we need to have a full picture.
Right.
Overwhelmed.
No. But it's like,
what you have to understand though is that a large majority of the community is not interested in being informed.
I agree. Yeah. But
so on a personal basis, I mean, I spend a lot of time with Eric Young.
Right.
I'm Ben Andrews, so I can't walk. But a lot of people there would stop me and say, "I know you're working on the trails. There's stuff hanging over here. There's this problem."
Yeah.
Do a pair of clippers.
Yeah.
Put it in your backpack. And I know you walk here every day. I see you. Okay. Something's hanging over.
Do it.
Throw it out.
Okay. Yeah.
Really easy. It's not hard to do. If something else is wrong, okay, here's a number you can call in the city. If there's a tree down, that's
yep.
Kind of stuff.
Right.
But that's how you get people involved one-on-one. Hey, we're going to work on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Join us.
Exactly.
Every first Saturday, we have a solve with it. Okay. What's the city else? We just saw the city stuff and join that, get lots of people in that way. Because we have a large group of volunteers in many of our partners.
Right. Oh, we have over 4,000 hours that we're doing.
That we and we don't count a lot of stuff that happens.
No.
So that's just part of it.
Yep.
Okay. But that works much better than you can send all the stuff out you want in newspapers and stuff like that. But people aren't going to care about that.
No, but some people do. And we also, for grant opportunities, all that tracking, I still am staff. I don't like tracking for just the sake of tracking. We've got so much to do. But for example, we're looking at our lease agreement with various signs that we don't own. I want to know how many hours we get into that.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, I want to know how many volunteer hours.
Well, we got
staff. No, but like staff, we track it too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
The FTEs, that's a voter.
Right? So those are things. I mean, that's supposed to be a positive thing, but that's what the value is and what we've given to the state. So what can the state help us with? You know, that kind of conversation. So the other part of this, I think it makes the staff proud.
So
I feel like they can't get it to where I want it to be. But they can do. And so me, it's that full circle. If I only get a few people that are proud of it, but it's staff are and see what we are doing, or we're like, we can't do it.
Well, see, you that's know? Another advantage. Well, significant is people understanding and appreciating what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it'll be 95%.
I've spent the last 6 months with a ton of my time devoted to figuring out how to deliver that in a 60-second elevator pitch.
Yeah.
And I've got a pretty good one so far. That I have a lot of success.
That works pretty well, doesn't it?
It's 60 seconds or 60 minutes.
I Tara pulled this up for me with the budget. And you can find it on the website. I don't know if you're going to scroll up just a little. I'm so sorry. I've done it. But just this isn't line item by line item, but this is what's projected. You can just see the bottom here, the materials and services, maybe right there in the capital outlay. You'll see the capital outlay is really small compared to what we have done. There's still bond projects that's not in here that we have to finish up, just a few. But that's just the general things of, hold on, I have my notes in a large font so I could read them.
Wait, what's at the top of the columns?
Oh, the top, oh, sorry.
Yeah. What is the pink one?
Oh, here, it's 2023.
So if you look at this, if you look at the proposed budgets coming up there, yeah, the 26 and 27.
Yeah.
You'll see that our materials and services, you know, grew because that additional money is down for the maintenance and upkeep area and the technical professional services. You can see that increase right there, right?
Yeah.
The others stayed relatively the same as what they were. Old Time Fair, we Old Time Fair, we were at $40,000 or $45,000. We bumped it up another, but this year the porta potties are $10,000.
What?
A quarter of our budget.
For how many?
I don't have that number.
Porta potties are really expensive,
especially for a one-time event. If you have them ongoing, they're much cheaper, but one-time event. So just when you're looking at that, so we're already, you know, so we used to do a raffle. You know, the whole thing starts with community events. So now we're like partnering with the chamber and they're going to potentially take over the raffle. So we're not buying $2,000 worth of things and making $500. It's more community, but they're going to do a 50-50. You know, we're looking at ways that we can optimize the money we put in and how we can get back to the community piece of that, not shift the whole load over, but where can we optimize those spaces to be able to function better.
Yeah, I know of a national event where they got corporate sponsors for porta potties.
Yep, we have sponsors right now.
We have one for Save the Park that just wanted to sponsor the porta potties. Like,
I know. Yeah, no, but that's also so all of this tied to sponsorship package. The last 2 years, Alyssa's been working. And again, remember, you take Tara out of it, 2 FTE put on 18 events and all of our all of our programming. Not ACC is one for that what they do. Right. No, it's insane. Right. So I am working on trying to change that a little bit, but it's taking me a little bit, but I'm gonna get that figured out. So that's my budget.
Okay. Project update.
Okay, well Chase, how many times?
Good.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you keep that one. Project updates, I've been all over the board, getting really focusing right now primarily on the tree code, again, not revision, but looking at those technical. I had sent it out to you, and if there was nothing that you saw, I'm going to be going back to council on the 1st week of July. He sent me an email, and his concern was out of all of the things that were there that caught his eye, was the concern right now. Says that tree permits must remain at zero. And what was suggested was that it was allowed that council could decide if they wanted to be able to offer put out a fee for a permit. Just then that's just an option. So I don't know if you know, for years and years and years, there's actually a fee schedule for permits.
Yep.
That's in the master fee schedule. And so I've only just updated it a little bit. There's a few things like the appeal fee that's never been applied. It's $400. That's too outlandish. It needs to come down. But what we wanted to do was to put in there that if the council realized that we got to a budget situation and that we needed to put a small fee in there, they would be able to do that. So it doesn't mean that fees are coming. It doesn't, but most cities do have a processing fee. They have some sort of thing that covers it. Going through this process, I found out that all of our heritage trees are technically, I'm not going to get the words right, so lawyer, please don't say something. But it is, you can correct me if I get this wrong, but essentially you are, that tree is owned by the city.
So,
and the city is on the hook for paying for all of the maintenance of that.
So if I have a heritage tree on my property.
Yes.
You own it.
Yep.
You've got to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And if you sell your property, it has to be in there that that we own it.
And if I think it needs maintenance and you don't,
okay,
yeah. But I probably not maintain
it. So when you're looking at from a risk and liability perspective, you'll know that that's where I live a lot is risk and liability.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy. First off, we don't have that, so there is no funding. So if that happened, it comes out of our parks fund to pay for that, right? So I'm looking at right now, okay, when we had this attorney, we had this illegal pet tree. Where did that money go? Is that where I could start building that fee for? What if we actually totally start to get an urban forestry management plan and get a real plan for our trees and want to be planting more? What is our funding source to be able to help to grow the plan that we're doing now? So again, those are things that are options. They're not mandates, but Chris wanted to make sure it wasn't setting the framework that everything's going to be fee. I said, no, it was really that most cities do have a nominal fee. If you would not imagine the amount of time that we spend on Every, Mike right now puts out every sign in every yard. We pay for all of the public notice for the 500 feet around. We do that all for free. And I don't mean for free, we have taxpayer money. I don't mean like that. But we're trying to digitize, have our permits online. We're trying to eventually get a website. Some people like, if Tara's cutting down a tree, I'm like, what are you doing? I could go online and find this map and see it. So instantly be a time saver. But there's these things that there's been no budget for that program or the street tree program in our budget. We just absorbed it. And so again, not pushing for the fee, but it gives the option if something warrants the need for it. So that was the only thing that I heard from Parks Board. I have, I've reached out to SAB to get their comment. I'm sending them the rest of the documentation. And I've also reached out to, I forgot my first, so Robert Duster with the neighborhood presidents. I'll be sending them all the documentation to see if they would like to meet to go over anything.
We'll see if they meet that version.
I kind of got that sentiment the other day. So I'm trying to do some due diligence when this project was set up. It wasn't going to go out for community comment, and not for any reason that it was just that it was really more of arboriculture and technical things, but there was a few policy, minor policy questions that came up that really wanted ignored, you know, further conversation and communication. So that's kind of where we're at, and we'll go to another work session in July. So that we can, the citizens know why we're removing a tree or not, and the arborist can make it easy determination too, but right now it's really easy. So that's my big.
Take a breath.
I know, I'm sorry, I can always.
Even I get hit up with tons of.
Why are they cutting down that tree?
If you want to.
Is that allowed, is that legal?
You want to take them guys to get home, don't have.
I have a plan, it's Tara.
Oh, I mean, she wants to be short and sweet, yes.
I'll do city dance. Events and recreation, so my son has been busy little bees, as we say this one. Pollinator, we said you say one. So yeah, we did the proclamation with our council, it was fantastic. It's time to fun, so we are, see you soon. We have a great event next Friday at Mary's Young Park. Hope you can all stop by for 7:00 down by the Pollinator Garden. We're gonna have lots of vendors there. Educational pieces, we're gonna have stuff for little kiddos, little plants, little giveaways for the adults after they do a really fun, like a bingo bingo.
That's next Friday?
Yeah, next Friday, 4 to 7. So it's not hopefully heat of the day, it's supposed to be a little. So yeah, we'll have the OSU Extension, the Master Gardeners there. Cheryl, who manages, let's say, the Pollinator Garden for us, a fantastic volunteer. Gardens, Western Garden Club, OSU Extension Bee Stewards, the Humble Habitat, some sponsors, some lemonade for sale, backyard bird shop. We're gonna have a PDX insectarium. He's a bug guy. He's gonna do a little
fantastic.
Yeah, so he's gonna do a fun little presentation. We'll have Stafford Ridge Nursery.
Yeah,
and the kids' craft area and stuff, so it's gonna be fun. So it'll be 4 to 7.
We're gonna be camping.
Well, yeah, it's a summertime camping. Yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, things are in full swing. Fair's going, so it's happening. We're doing a few little changes. If you guys have come to the car show, it's gonna be on Sunday now, on Saturday. So we're just figuring out the logisticals, the parade, you know,
that's change.
Yeah, utilize our parking a little bit better.
Does the car show also include motorcycles?
Oh, I don't think it does.
We've seen cars.
Oh, yeah, only seen cars.
There's so many vintage, I only know this because he has one of those guys, but there's a ton of vintage motorcycle people in just the greater community.
Yeah.
They love to show off their stuff.
I don't think they'd be turned away if they showed up.
So you can reach out, so we don't run it.
Yeah.
Another organization.
Yeah, that'd be fun, yeah. It was again optimizing because we were having problems with parking with the parade coming down, and then also Sunday was kind of a lighter day, so taking an event over there, so they have the parking for Friday, going to Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, that's better.
Friday there's a new event too. Did you mention Friday? It's funny.
Oh yeah, that's been on hiatus for a few years.
It's coming back.
Coming back.
Yeah,
the whole time
baseball game.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Yeah. And they are recruiting some players.
So I'm interested.
They would be happy to.
Thank you.
Well, John just said, yeah.
John Kess.
John Kess. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so we're not getting the ambassadors are on a break, that program. So we're having the Westlake Historic Society open up the fair. So we're going to do a little presentation.
interview one of the baseball players, Blaze, that's been around for many years. And there's all the rules. So try to bring that old time feel back and just like a community event. We'll have a flashy carnival. Because that's popular. Yeah, so it's, we're excited.
It's great.
Yeah.
It was also mentioned that if Parks Board would like to do anything there, there's things that there's certain events that are like, you know, one moment in time, you know, whether I don't want to say like there's bingo or something, if Parks Board would ever want to do something at the event, you know, we can, it would be great to have, we're going to be reaching out to more groups like that. State Council wants to be a part of something like, you know, there's hiding contest or, you know, all those type of things.
Booth too, yeah, just hanging out.
Coming out with guys and helping sign up for things. Yeah.
I think you buy a t-shirt all the time.
Can you use the second weekend of July? And then summer camps start next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, town, front of the sun, mini campers, AWOL, COIL, all the parks. We've got everything.
Sheriff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I must have mentioned that.
We're on time.
This makes seven. Just to get right in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you've had your rest now.
Okay, this is the fun one.
Oh, yes.
Do you mind? I got out on Mary Grant Drive. So this is still not quite right, but I think we told you a while back that we were starting to partner, got this from the city of Wilsonville. Is where I first learned about it. There's been several presentations at our Oregon Recreation Parks Association, workshops and conference about working with city data. And what's really interesting, the reason why we looked at this is first off, when I got here and was kind of listening to what Wilsonville was doing, and really it's a lot of our parks are regional parks. You know, they're not just city, which is quite awesome for the waterfront. So for actually a really low cost, it's not very much. We're able to get 2 years of data. So right now we're still building this out. I wanted to show it to you earlier. There's still some things that we're working through, and you'll see why. I wanted to show you that to you, what those are. But I had on the sticky note here the parks I wanted to show you. So this right now is showing you, and this will be able to be available. It's right now we're still honing in. We'll be able to look at the number of uses that are coming into our park based off cell phones. Now, I want to make sure you know it's not your cell phone, it's not your phone number. There's a whole bunch of data collecting companies off apps that they talk to other, I can't get it down to all, there's legalities and it's, but you're not, their number's not out there. But it gives you an estimated use of the amount of people or estimated occupants or people that are coming in from certain distances away from your city. And what's really interesting, we may only do this for 2 years, but we're thinking of getting grants, looking for sponsorship to tell, hey, you want to come and sponsor this fair? We get on average about this amount of people coming. So what I wanted to show you is we've got 15 locations right now. We've picked our, this is not all of our sites. We picked all of those that were of large in size. A couple of these numbers are often skewed.
Yes.
I'll show you which ones, but there will be some that will absolutely shock your mind. And Merrill Bush Park is one of them. That number is still a little bit off, but when you see where the heat map is, it's a bit crazy. There's nowhere near it, says Marius Young. So there's a few things that we're working on. And
there's been where what?
Oh, it's nowhere near Marius Young number of people coming in.
Yeah,
but it is interesting. So not only do you look at this from the sheer number of people, so that's more from a marketing standpoint or knowing how many uses. I wanted to go for a metro local share or metro grant. I want to be able to know how many people are coming. But then this ties into our maintenance practices.
Yeah.
And so, for example, what I wanted to show you is how we kind of broke this out. I want to show you all of these. And I'm going to get to only a minute.
Wait, and that's per?
2 years.
This is a single year right now. So, right now, this is January 1. To, this is all last year, right?
So
oh, wait, no, hold on.
Two years.
Sorry. Yes, 2 years.
So a total of only 41,000 visits in 2 years?
So that's not a lot.
That's more than the people who live here. That's like.
Yeah, but still.
Well, so wait a second, Stacey, hold on. Okay. Hey, hang on. Let me.
Oh, this is. Let her finish.
Well, this is gonna.
You can ask questions. What you?
No. Sorry, you're actually teeing me up right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. She likes them.
So I'm gonna show you this, and then what I would. So this is great. This is our. We worked with them to look at a boundary. And we had to, like at Fields Bridge, they captured the river. We had to pull the river in because even though we love to count the river traffic, they're not always coming from Fields Bridge Park, an example, and I'll show you another one. So then when you look at these heat maps, it is gonna show you
where your activity is primarily within a park. Now, what I can't do just yet, but think of this on a scale. This is over a 2-year period, right? So I'll scroll in.
Thanks.
It gets a little flat though when I scroll in. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
You can see, and there's this house that doesn't count. We'll get that. We have to. We sharpen our borders, right?
I don't want to know about that house.
But what it does though is you start looking at. We can go back to the fair time. We can get down to the chairs giving them all of our events. We can look at re-strategizing today about our splash pads.
Ooh.
So right now, they all equally start at 10 o'clock and they all equally go to 8 o'clock. Huh. What if we see that there's two splash pads that nobody, the neighborhood currently, they're all, everybody mostly is working. And what happens if we don't need to turn it on until noon? We say that other splash pads are open that people can go to, and we've just optimized our time and changed our resources. What if you see what Wilsonville saw, which really caught my eye, was that they found that certain parks, again, probably more so families that are working, that had very little use in the morning, they went and mowed there first, where they thought that maybe they shouldn't go there first. They changed their routes based on what they saw. It's very interesting.
So you're talking about resource allocation.
Well, it's resource and funding, you know? Then the part that's fun about this is when you get out of that. So this doesn't even include Bernard Landing. Did you notice that? You know why I kept that separate?
No.
That's Marine Board money that we can get. So look at this. I can go up here now and include Bernard Landing and look at where our number increases. Now that's a little skewed too, right? Because of people, but people are coming in here and going specifically to here. But when you say that message, you're like, well, people can be parking here and going there, but there is definitely a number of resources. If I go for a Marine Board grant, I can just pull Bernard Landing and say this many people, which is a regional area, are coming to that on average, this amount, and I can even just pair it to the summer months.
So I can
go any time in the summer and you'll see that.
Right. I was reading it wrong. So 83,000 is for just Bernard?
Mm-mm. This is Bernard and Willamette.
And see, I was thinking that was the total of all the parks.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay,
and then it looks at the average amount of time that they're there. Now remember, you have a family of four coming and only two have a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just giving you, you can't ever clicker the number. It's not, it's just, and it's what all of these other businesses and organizations are using to capture the numbers.
Yeah. Yes.
The other one is look at the travel distance. This was interesting. You go in and take a look at the counties that they're coming for. So there's still not a glitch, they're still waiting for some information for us. So, but if I look at, right now, it's only showing all, if I go all of our parks, right? Right now, when I was looking at it before I came in, I wasn't able to drill out down by the park to see where areas were because they're still waiting for some data. That's what we'll be able to look at Willamette and Marius Jones specifically. And Hammerly, that another one is a destination place to see where people are coming from with their counties.
It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
And right now, this is when we're looking at our resource allocation. I think for the 15 parks, it was something like $400 a month. And with 1 year, we get 2 years worth of data.
Well,
so even if we only do it this year and capture it and pause, that is so much resource information that we have.
Yeah.
We can get down, I think, to Tara, throw in there if I miss something wrong. We can get down into the, each park will happen eventually, but right now it's not there. We're able, we didn't do a ton with the census block, so I'll be honest with you, that's not where my mind has been at. But demographics and households, we've played around with all of these, but we haven't worked on it a ton. I don't know exactly what this means, right? So I'll be able to find out where that's, what that information really truly is. Things we were looking at primarily was the visits, the heat map,
yes.
The counties. You can even look at the states where people came from. That was quite interesting too. You know, when I think about that,
Iowa
to the state. Well, people visiting, grandparents coming, people coming just to stay. It's really fascinating data. You know, and it's small percentages. We see that we're not attracting. Now, again, think if you were a large city, you're like, oh, there's a tourism.
But they're trying to get off of the area code and cell phones.
Yep,
which might be.
misleading.
No, it's not that, because it's through apps. It's not the cell phone number at all, because that was the concern of security, right? You don't want any, no, it's all through the app, app companies. And if we ever get into a question, if somebody's worried, I would bring the company and he can talk at a much higher fancier level.
Someone has your number, but it's not us.
Yes, no, exactly.
Lots of companies.
So where we're at right now, and they're only delayed because of us, not in trying to get time in there. But this is not, what we'll be able to do is at any point in time, look at overall plan and how we set this dashboard so that we can actually really kind of monitor our visitors and how many people are coming in, the people we're serving. So to me, again, when I'm thinking of St. Mark's, the number is quite valuable. Talk to them about if there's additional partnership opportunities or if they help us with grants, we have numbers that we can share. And we go back to city data. We don't say that we counted it. It's not like we're getting to get sales.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Right. We're very clear about
ours. Yeah.
Right. We're very clear about where our data came from and that there's definitely some flaws with it. We were looking at, let me show you Marriott's Town, because that was one that we got fixed. But it was, I really did not want to lose the data, but we don't have, I need to do a trail counter is what I need to do.
Oh.
Because when I get, I wish your screen was different. Let me get. It's just a sliver. Slide up, see your big knob. What we were capturing originally is, you know, the trail along 43, that's within the property boundary line, even though part of that is ODOT. But what it did was it really skewed the numbers. You couldn't fully tell if it was actually the trail or the road. And so I peeled it back. They're really close. Yeah. So I would rather do a trail counter there. We actually get data there for that. So we peeled that in. And then there was like Merrillhurst, I could show you that. That was still the data really, really weird there, but it makes me wonder if there's something else going on during the day that we're not seeing.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? Not nothing wrong. Like, is there an organized group that's there more frequently? Is there schools that are using it? Is it really more of a neighborhood park than, or more than a neighborhood park than we even realized? Merrillhurst? Yeah, let me show you. What was it? I see what you're saying. I gotcha.
4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if you're picking up all the houses around there.
Yeah, but shrinks. So that's what we did. Yeah. We shrunk in. So let me show you Merrillhurst.
Yeah, I never see people at Merrillhurst at all.
I didn't know it existed.
So this one is that we're still working with on the parks. Look at this. First off, look at the total visits. There's no way.
Oh no.
But when you look at so I'm not saying that that is. No, hold on. It has two places listed in there. That's our problem.
Oh.
See, it's showing two places.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So, but I can show you what was happening. We first opened this up. Valley View. There's a pathway there.
Yes,
the sidewalk, so technically not a pathway, so we want to capture that. So we shut that in. I actually had to go in and look at this area, and there the trail has come right under these trees. And so we actually had squeezed it in a little bit more just so that it wasn't capturing these homes, but we're still doing some adjustment there. But this is all on the edge of the pathway. And then the other part that was really funky that we're still working on is, like, I'm asking myself, what's going on over there?
Yeah,
really, we found somebody who had encroached over at Tanner a ton as a pad. We're not able to get into that yet, but like, we should go take a look to see, is that a hangout place? Well, it's a pretty bad thing. It could be a hangout place. That house could have teenagers, and that's where or kids, middle schoolers, and that's where they hang out. I mean, it doesn't mean it, but we could look at this and go, we should go walk over there and see what's going on. It's within the park boundary. It's not on the edge of this house or even this one right here, right?
Yeah.
What is there?
The only issue I have is if you look down here.
So we have.
See that guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could potentially be.
And that's actually really great to remember that, right? Yeah. We should tell that to the data. Mm-hmm. But then this piece, if it, you know, we don't own this middle section. That's owned by
TTG, right? So this we do own. So now you're seeing how much activity is occurring.
Well, the activity there is people almost every day are working on clearing stuff out. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're taking red things there to get
yeah, it. Yeah, we do.
And there's a couple of people that work there almost every day yeah. in large groups, you know.
Oh, a lot of walkers weekends. Too.
There's a lot of walkers.
There's a lot of that walk around Miracles yeah. is very common. I just live about a mile from the park.
Yeah,
yeah. I walk there with my friends. But I've never seen, there's not that many people at the time. I mean, see, like, on a nice day, there's lots of kids to splash back. But if you go out into the field, there'll be five guys with their dog.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah. So that's where Billy Kevin just mentioned that cell phone or that tower there.
Yeah,
that could be because this was the anomaly. John Williams even caught things. What's up? I'm like, maybe there's something going on.
Well, that's where the HG.
Yeah,
maybe that's where that's coming from because there's no way that's that kind of party.
Well,
if you look at our parking lot, which fits about 10 cars,
yeah.
I mean,
there's no way. Well, and when we do have reservations on the week, no, we're. I'm not saying that, but it was something that would be really interested because we do have some complaints with the amount of people that come for a shelter restoration. It's one of our most popular parks in Burlington spaces. And so that would be something that eventually you know, we could look at too. Like, look at that time from on the weekend. Do we need to have additional parking there? So it'll be kind of fun to dive into the data. And but really, we've realized some of these are going to like that was just off.
Well, like, one time we were going to make a parking lot, you know, right along
the ground. Yes,
exactly. That was all gravel.
Yeah,
and that flat area was going to be a parking lot. Uh-huh. It's going to cost more than $1 million. Yes. And then we decided, well, let's just wait and see mm-hmm. how much use the park gets.
Exactly.
Well, and it hasn't had enough use to need that park.
Right.
Well, it's two places analyzed.
Yeah.
So,
and that might be because they've added this one in here, but still the numbers are definitely off. But the other ones have all seemed, you know, relatively, I mean, they weren't shocking, but I was like, well, it's going to be great to look at all our events when we're looking at sponsorship to really tell people. And especially those, like, you know, it's a regional event, like where we're talking with Mountain Territories for, you know, potential sponsorship with our fair. And we've got Toyota who sponsors all of our concert series, as well as the fair and a few other things. So it just gives us that leverage to really show our impact and where we're going with our dollar value.
That's great.
Yeah. So more to come, but that's where, you know, like I said, they've been more ready than I've even like, we should try to figure out how it works with our GIS. So that was our exciting stuff. And that is all I have for you today.
That was a tough interview.
Well, we're in pretty good shape, guys. Our members have anything else to add?
I just have a quick question that I can answer if I already think she's sitting right here. But I got approached by the gal who owns Taylor Higgins. She owns Positivity.
That's a door.
She was very, unless she'd already reached out to you, she's very interested. Like, she says, we want to be better community members here. I mean, because obviously she wants that for her business. She's like, can we like sponsor the poop bags and have Positivity or what other ideas are there? And she's just a small business, but she has been doing her Method Pet Show at the fair.
Nola's has been trying to get in touch with her.
So I'll have her just work more.
Do a porta potty. That's perfect.
Yeah, no, she said to me, I want to do something, and obviously it's going to be, you know, hopefully tech somehow. But she's porta potty. She said she really wants to do something to get out there and just be more with the animal people.
Yeah, we can do a sponsorship
and Terry Hill.
They're at our events.
Okay, good.
There's yet music in the park.
Okay, good.
And then a couple other places. Yeah.
Good. Well, and then our connection with this is the chamber too. Obviously, is like they're starting to partner with them at the fair. We already have Shatrina, I think, is no longer the executive.
No,
Victoria's. She's super sweet. I've only seen her better once, but that's where we're trying to. Again, when I say this, there's all these opportunities, but we just take
people,
you know, to do that. You can only extend your bandwidth so far. But I will tell you, there's been a lot of reinventing, streamlining.
really evaluating with every event and activity, what is its purpose, who is it serving, and really kind of making it. So I've been pretty proud of how they've tolerated a lot of my suggestions or response. They actually have most of it themselves, but just kind of rolling it together. So from the parks perspective, getting to see somebody at the park in the next year that's the same person they're maintaining it with that passion.
Yeah.
Getting to have that connection with the community is going to be great for them and great for the community too. We're still just transitioning of, yeah, actually all the parks are submitting to digital people right now, but I haven't built that yet because we're still working through it because we're short two people, so I haven't heard anything. But it's been fun, you know? So yeah. Just even the bar, just even mulching, right? Well, learn. We haven't even got to planting the right plants. We don't have as much bare soil. You know, like we haven't even got to that stuff yet. And there's just all those opportunities with our ICANN program coming up.
Okay. Good job.
Good job.
All right.
That was a lot of information.
Yeah. Well, of course, so again, always feel just free. I want to keep you guys informed when there's something. Well, no, but there's really, but there really is. I feel like we can come here and you guys can just, I want to inform you on what we're doing and you count guys and things.
Cool.
So I'm just teasing. The entry, I can tell you, I'm not going to love it at the time.
I'm exhausted. All right. It's our Friday.
We're ready to begin the meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Yes. I'm going to adjourn.
Okay. So thank you. We don't have a meeting in July.
Okay,
so we'll be in August, which is
Oh, we're going to join that one.
Yes.